If a violinist's path to Carnegie Hall is through practice, practice, then how does a budding rock star find his way to Madison Square Garden? A practice, of course, but a detour through Boston may be a good idea. Founded in 1945, the Berklee College of Music is the ultimate school of rock, with a good bit of jazz, blues, and just about any other pop form to boot. It's the world's largest music college. There are classes in songwriting, film scoring, and sound engineering. However, the majority of musicians who enroll at Berklee are interested in playing an instrument. And out of the 3,800 students enrolled here, some 1,100 have come to play guitar.
Let's look at this melody. If you look in the middle of that page there where it says tone roll.
At a recent guitar clinic, the assistant chair of the guitar department, Rick Peckham, described some thorny harmonic theory to a lecture hall full of 20-somethings.
Now, bar three, or the second section of the tone roll, is the same set of notes, but backwards. That's called retrograde. There we go.
Sporting spectacles, a plaid shirt, and khakis. Peckham looks more like a math professor than a rock star. But don't be fooled. He plays a mean Telecaster. Rick Peckham and his trio, with bassist Tony Scher and drummer Jim Black, have released a new CD called Left End. It's filled with biting guitar riffs that take their cue from the solid roots of rock, but the intricate technique and complex harmonies also pay homage to the jazz tradition. The music on the CD reflects the many streams of guitar styles that waft through the halls of Berklee itself.
Guitarists, it's kind of a hero-driven world. There are icons like Jimi Hendrix or Wes Montgomery or George Benson. Berklee attracts people mainly in the jazz and rock world, although there are a lot of blues icons that we're hearing about now, too.
Does it pretty much break down 50-50, maybe jazz and rock?
Yeah, it's 50% rock and then 50% everything else. So we have great performers and teachers in all of these styles. On the heavy metal side, we have Joe Stump. He has albums. He doesn't shy away from puns in his titles. Night of the Living Shred is the one I think of right away. And on the other side, we're very proud to have Mick Goodrick here, who's kind of the godfather of Boston guitar. And music is a world where if you're interacting with other great players, you just get better by osmosis. You absorb strong skills by playing with people with strong skills. And when you talk to people, John Scofield, for example, or Pat Metheny or Bill Frisell, when they talk about the most influential events in their life, they talk about their time at Berklee, when they were able to kick back and spend time with other players and experiment and really come up with their own voice. So it's kind of a mechanical way to look at it on the guitar, but it's a melodically interesting way. So any questions about that?
Yeah, great.
Yes.
You got these missing notes here that you got written here. I mean, part of the reason you picked pentatonic, like, was that because when you go to the...
They also learn things like theory and harmony. And I think something particular with guitarists, the idea of tone, the way you can bend a note, extend a note, and enhance a note using electronics.
That's the absolute truth. The biggest challenge is to play a melody so that the listener wants to hear what's going to happen next. Is there a shape on the note? Is there a way that the note is said such that you want to hear what's going to happen next? If listeners respond, then you know you're on to something.
You have a new CD out. It's your first CD as a leader. You're in your late 40s. What took you so long to release a CD as a band leader?
That's a great question. And one I asked myself, I really should have jumped in sooner. It's the most fun I've ever had in a recording studio.
It's big. I mean, big guitars. You are paying homage in many of these cuts to some of your own rock gods, aren't you?
Yep. I wanted the guitar to sound big. I wanted to have it so that if I was just playing a single note, that it would just sort of envelop the listener. Going through this and thinking while I was writing the music and rehearsing, I went through the 70s guitarists that I idolized, and I think of Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top and especially Paul Kossoff from Free. These are names that a lot of people wouldn't know, but they mean a lot to me. I mean, it's to me, the 70s guitarists, there were a whole lot of them, and it's sort of like the legacy of great tenor players of the 40s and 50s. So these are people that I listened to and kind of drifted away from while I was learning about jazz with Wes Montgomery and Grant Green, whom I love a great deal, and then the post-bop guitarists like Mick Goodrick and John Scofield and John Abercrombie and Bill Frisell. All of these are my influences, and I try to do them justice with every note I play.
The last cut on the CD is a Thelonious Monk tune, Evidence. What can guitar students learn from Monk?
Well, anybody can learn from Monk that individuality wins out over technical ferocity. That musical identity is the most important thing. If you have an interesting character, whatever you say will be interesting. And the other thing is the use of wrong notes. He's quoted somewhere as saying there are two types of wrong notes, the ones that sound good and wrong notes. And he does that all over the place.
If you were to go back to guitar school, who would you want to teach you?
That's an interesting question. Historically, I would love to sit down and play with Grant Green or Wes Montgomery or Charlie Christian. It would to get a chance to play with Thelonious Monk would be, you know, the ultimate thrill, really. Just playing with him would make you play better yourself.
My name is William Heron, and I am from Panama.
Now, you are not yet a student of Rick Peckham's, but you attended the clinic today.
Yes, I attended the clinic, and I saw him performing at the Berklee Performance Center last week. And it was, like, astonishing. So I saw the flyer for the clinic, and I stopped by.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Not just as a guitar player, but as a full musician, you know, being able to play piano, play harmonica, play guitar, and probably recording music for commercial music, for TV shows, and for anyone who needs music, and for myself.
So a professional musician.
Hopefully.
Hi, tell us who you are, where you're from.
I'm Peter Allen. I'm from Grand Junction, Colorado.
Why did you want to come to study here at Berklee?
Berklee is a really famous school, of course, and it has lots of great teachers. So a person who really wants to learn the musical language should come here for fluency.
And what do you see yourself doing in 10 years?
I'd like to be a full-blown rock star if I could, but, you know, I'm probably just going to be teaching and composing music because that's what I would also like to do.
My name is Buenaventura Marco, but I go for Buena. I'm from Valencia, Spain.
Why did you want to study with Rick Peckham?
I heard of him on records, and I saw him perform live. I liked his playing, so and then I had the pleasure to meet him personally, and so he's a great human being, not just a great musician.
What have you learned from him so far?
Of course, to take care of the music itself. So if the music is good and it's like from the heart, then it'll be heard.
What do you look for in a student that you then personally take an interest in? You teach private students, right? How many private students do you have?
It ranges between a half dozen and a dozen students because I'm involved with so much administration in the department. But I really like to work with them and try to help them emerge with their own voice. I'm certainly not showing them exercises to make them sound just like me, because that just doesn't work. The best teachers have students that sound totally different from each other, and that's what I've always aspired to do.
Rick Peckham is assistant chair of guitar here at the Berklee College of Music in Boston. His debut CD with the Rick Peckham Trio is called Left End. Rick, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
There's more information and audio on our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.